While he concentrated on the picture of the sword, Richard was vaguely aware of the chirps and clicks of bugs, the low, steady croaks of frogs, and the rustling of mice and voles among the dry debris of the forest floor. The air occasionally whirred with a bat. Once he heard a squeak as an owl caught its dinner. And then, while in the dreamlike haze as he sat and pictured the sword, the night became still. In his mind, he saw the dark shape behind him. In one fluid movement, Richard was up and spinning, the sword tip whistling through the air. The flowing shape pitched back and lunged again when the sword was passed. Richard felt a thrill that he had missed, that it would not be ended so soon, that he could dance with the spirits, that he could let the rage free. It moved like a cape in the wind, dark as death and just as quick. Around the clearing they darted, the sword glinting in the waning light of the moon, the blade slicing the air, the dark shapes, blade-like claws, flashing past. Richard immersed himself in the sword's magic, in its wrath, in his own. He freed his anger and frustration to join with the sword's own fury, reveling in the dance with death. Across the clearing they spun, like leaves in a gale, one avoiding the blade, the other, the claws. Lunging and ducking, they used the trees for cover and attack. Richard let the spirits of the sword dance with him. He immersed himself in the magic's mastery. He let himself do as the spirits counseled, and he watched, almost in a detached state, as they spun him this way and that, had him skim across the ground, dodge right, then left, leap and thrust. He hungered to learn the dance. Teach me. Knowledge, like memory, flowed forth, forged by his will into the completing link. He became not the user of the sword, the magic, the spirits, but their master. The blade, the magic, the spirits, and the man were one. The dark shape lunged. Now, with a solid thwack, the blade halved the shape. A spray of blood hit the trees close by. A death howl shivered the air, and then all was still. Richard stood panting, almost sorry it was over. Almost. He had danced with the spirits of the dead, with the magic, and in so doing had found the release he sought. Release not only of some of his feelings of helpless frustration, but release, too, of darker needs deep within himself that he didn't understand. The sun had been up for nearly 2 hours when he heard her coming. She was blundering through the brush, huffing indignantly at branches that snagged her clothes. He could hear twigs snap as she staggered up the rise. Tugging her skirt free from a thorn, she stumbled into the clearing before him. Richard was sitting cross-legged, with his eyes closed and the sword resting across his knees. She came to a panting halt before him.
Richard!
Good morning, Pasha. He opened his eyes. Beautiful day, isn't it? She held her long, brown skirt up a little in her hands. Her white blouse was damp with sweat. Her hair had burrs in it. Pasha blew a strand of hair from her face.
You have to get out of here at once. Richard, this is the Hagen Woods.
I know. Sister Verna told me. Interesting place. I rather like it. She blinked at him.
Richard, this place is dangerous. What are you doing here?
Richard smiled to her. Waiting for you? She peered around at trees and dark shadows.
Something smells awful in here, she muttered.
Pasha squatted down in front of him, smiling a little smile as a person might to a child, or to someone she thought was insane.
Richard, you've had your fun, your nice walk in the country. Now, give me your hand, and let's get out of here.
I'm not leaving until Verna is restored to sister again. Pasha shot to her feet.
What?
Richard took his sword in hand and rose in front of her. I'm not leaving here until Verna is restored to the rank of sister, the same as she was before. The palace must choose what's more important to them, my life or keeping Sister Verna a novice. Pasha's mouth fell open.
But the only one who can remove Verna's sanction is Sister Marin.
I know. He touched his finger to her nose. That's why you're going to go and tell Sister Marin she must come here in person and give me her solemn pledge that Verna is once again a sister and agree to my terms.
You can't be serious. Sister Marin will not do that.
I'm not leaving this spot unless she does.
Richard, We'll go back and see if Sister Marin will discuss this, but you can't stay here. It's not worth dying for.
He regarded her with a cool expression. It is to me. Her tongue wet her lips.
Richard, you don't know what you're doing. This is a dangerous place. I'm responsible for you. I cannot allow you to stay here. If you won't come away with me, then I will have to use the collar and make you come with me. And I know you don't want that.
Richard's grip tightened on the sword's hilt. Sister Verna is being punished in retaliation against me. I have made a vow to myself to restore Verna to Sister. I can't allow the sanction to stand. I'll do whatever I must. Die here, if I have to. If you use the collar to hurt me or drag me off, I'll fight you with everything I have. I don't know who will win, but if that happens, I am sure of one thing. One of us will die. If it's you, then the war will have started. If I die, then your test to become a sister will end on the first day. Sister Verna will still be a novice, but that is where she stands now. At least I will have done my best.
You would be willing to die? For this?
Yes. It's that important to me. I will not allow Sister Verna to be punished because of what I have done. It was unjust.
Her brow wrinkled. But Sister Marin is the headmistress of the novices. I'm a novice. I can't go to her and tell her she must reverse the order. She'll skin me alive.
I am the cause of the trouble. You are simply the messenger. If she punishes you, I would not stand for it any more than I will stand for what was done to Sister Verna. If Sister Marin wishes to start a war, then let it start. If she wishes to keep my truce, then she will have to come to me, here, and agree to my terms.
Pasha stared at him. Richard, if you are here when the sun goes down, you will die.
Then I would suggest you hurry. She turned, holding her arm out toward the city.
But I must go all the way back. It took me hours to get here. It will take me hours to go back, and then I must find Sister Marin, and then convince her that you're serious, and even if I could get her to agree to return with me, we must still get back here.
You should have ridden a horse.
But I ran here as soon as I realized where you were. I wasn't thinking about a horse or anything else. I knew there was trouble and just came after you.
He gave her an even look. Then you made a mistake, Pasha. You should have thought before you acted. Next time, maybe you will think first.
Pasha put a hand to her chest as she gulped air. Richard, there is hardly time.
Then you had better hurry, or your new charge will be sitting here in Hagen Woods when the sun goes down. Her eyes moistened with frustration and concern.
Richard, please, you don't understand. This is no game. This place is dangerous.
He turned a little and pointed with the sword. Yes, I know. Pasha peered around him to the shadows and gasped. Hesitantly, she stepped to the thing by the trees. Richard didn't follow. He knew what was there, two halves of a creature from a nightmare, its guts spilled across the ground. Its sinuous head, like a man's half melted into a snake or lizard, was a picture of wickedness itself, covered in a glossy, tight, black skin, smooth down to the base of the thick neck, where it began welting up into pliable scales. The lithe body was shaped much like a man's. The whole of the creature seemed made for fluid speed, deadly, quick grace. It wore hides covered with short black hair and a full-length black hooded cape. What Richard had taken for claws were not claws, but three-bladed knives, one in each webbed hand, with crosswise handles held in the fist. Steel extensions went up each side of the wrist for support when a strike was made. Pasha stood dumbstruck. Richard finally went to stand by her, looking down at the two halves of the thing. Whatever it was, it bled, the same as any other creature, and it smelled like fish guts rotting in the hot sun. Pasha stood trembling as she stared at the thing.
Dear Creator,
she whispered,
it's a Mriswith.
She took a step back.
What happened to it?
What happened to it? I killed it, that's what happened to it. What sort of thing is a Mriswith?
Her big brown eyes came to his. What do you mean you killed it? You can't kill a Mriswith. No one has ever killed a Mriswith.
Her face was a picture of consternation. Well, someone has killed one now.
You killed it at night, didn't you?
Yes. Richard frowned. How do you know that?
Mirswith are rarely seen outside Hagen Woods, but there have been reports over the last few thousand years, reports given by people who somehow managed to live long enough to tell what they saw. The Mirswith always take on the color of what is around them. In one report, one rose up in the tidal flats and was the color of mud. One time in the sand dunes, it was the color of the sand. One report noted that in the light of a golden sunset, the Mirswith was golden. When they kill at night, they're never seen because they are black, like the night. We think they have the ability, or maybe the magic, to assume the color of their surroundings. Since this one is black, I guess that you killed it at night.
Richard took her arm, gently pulling her away. She seemed transfixed by the creature. He could feel her trembling under his hand. Pasha, what are they?
Things that live in the Hagen Woods. I don't know what they are. I've heard it said that in the war that separated the New World from the Old, the wizards created armies of the Mirswith. Some people believe that Mirswith are sent by the Nameless One. But the Hagen Woods are their home, and the home of other things. They are why no one lives out in the country on this side of the river. Sometimes they come out of the woods and hunt people. They never devour their kills, they seem simply to kill for the sake of killing. Mirswith disembowel their victims. Some live long enough to tell what got them. That is how we know as much as we know.
How long have the Hagen Woods, the creatures, been here?
As far as I know, at least as long as the Palace of the Prophets. Nearly 3,000 years.
She took a fistful of his shirt.
In all that time, no one, not once, has ever killed a Mirswith. Every victim said that they never saw it until after it slashed them open. Some of those victims have been sisters and wizards, and not even their Han warned them. They said they were blind to its coming, as if they were born without the gift. How is it you were able to kill a Mirswith?